Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Ashwini.
It's a very joyful morning.
A joyful morning it is.
Well, here was our assignment from yesterday. Words are the fog one has to see through. For most of us, words are the water we swim in. It never occurs to me that when you say X, you don't mean what I mean when I say X. The conditions, orientations we reference our internal databases of meaning is so automatic, we don't realize we're not really hearing what someone else is saying. What we hear is our conditioned interpretation. Today, practice dropping the fog of words and just listen, really tuning in to what is being pointed at by words. For example, what is a tree when it's not being viewed through the fog of conditioned mind words? Well, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida.
Hi there.
I'm so excited to be on. I'm on my spring break. And full disclosure right away, the last time I called, I was lit up and then conditioning came in and swept me off my feet. So this morning...
Rather than swept you off your feet, could we say knocked you flat?
Knocked me flat. And then
yeah, because that swept you off your feet is something a girl kind of hopes for, right? But that was not the experience you were looking for.
Right. It was saying, liar, you told all these people you were lit up, and now you're not. But it was a good experience to have gone through. And hearing other people's calls, I'm gathering that that's kind of a common thing.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And isn't that... just extraordinarily helpful to get.
It is.
Yeah.
And so it dropped in today that I have this, well, I don't know how to, you'll help me fix the language, but there was some fear and trepidation about, oh, maybe I shouldn't call in again. And then I heard Jen's voice saying, well, you know what you have to do. So here I am.
Yes. So you know where that fear came from, right?
Conditioning. Yes.
Yeah. That's not you. That's not authenticity. That's not your heart. That's conditioning comes in, scares you, then says.
I'm lost.
Sherry? Sherry, you're talking. We can't hear you.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. Well, let me...
Am I back?
Yes,
you're
now
back.
You are. Loud and clear.
Now I am. There she is.
Yes,
there
you
she,
are.
Now she's here.
Uh-huh.
Now she's gone. All right. Let me reboot here. Just one second.
All right. Am I here?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, my Bluetooth has decided to go out on its own. So, where were we?
Well, conditioning knocked me flat. I called again, and then you were saying something that we couldn't hear you.
Conditioning wanted to convince you that you shouldn't call again.
Right.
Because it was scary. And so I think what I was getting ready to tell people is that if not calling made conditioning leave you alone for good,
uh-huh.
I would say to everyone, don't ever call again.
Right.
But all that happens, of course, is that it talks us into isolating. And when we isolate, we're isolated with it.
Yes.
It never goes away. You can get rid of us, but it doesn't go away until we do some serious disidentification, distancing work.
Yes, and I've been really identified lately. And one other thing I hope you can speak to, it kind of goes with the fog of words. So I really, really get the idea of not having a conversation or not tuning into the conversation in the mind between X and Y and conditioning. But there's this other question coming up about just thinking. Let's say I go to the library and I want to get a book on X and thinking about that. Where does Zen come in that?
Okay, we have a two-sentence rule. It's really a guideline because we only have one rule, but and it can really help us with this whole business of thinking. So I would say, and I bet you if you have watched this, you would agree with me, it drops in that you want to go to the library and get a book.
Mm-hmm.
It just occurs to you. There's nothing volitional about that process. It's not like you sit down and you grind out, okay, I want to. It just appears in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that gets called thinking, but it's actually not thinking. It is what we talk about as being guided by life. The intelligence that animates you is just constantly giving you direction. So it occurs to you that you want to go to the library and get a book. Now, that's really kind of all you need from that, right? And then you can mm-hmm. just go to the library and get a book. Or it occurs to you that, well, I can't go now because I've got this and this and this, but I have a break at 3, I could go then.
Mm-hmm. So there's no should or any of that.
Sherry, you went away again?
Oh, no.
Sherry? Ren, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay.
But perhaps it would help if we ended my call because I'm about done. Would that help any?
Well, no, just hang on 1 second and we'll just wait for Sherry to come back.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, you're back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but my phone is just, you know how technology is sometimes. And today it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was trying to lay out there, sorry it's taken me so long. So there you're all set. Now, if you hear in your head, well, you know, maybe I'll get the one with the such and such, and but no, you know, the last one, it was really no good. I really hated the part where they went off and da-da-da-da-da. I'm not sure that author is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the conversation we don't need to be having.
Okay.
That's conditioned mind just nattering on in order to keep your attention. And what it's keeping your attention away from is the very dropping in experience that you had with go to the library and get a book.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of dropping in guidance is available to us all the time.
Yes. And I think it's more of conditioning trying to say, well, Zen says you shouldn't think about anything, and now you're thinking about this, so now you're not
here's the thing. That's the conversation you don't need to have.
Right.
The voice that's calling you and telling you what Zen is and what you should be doing, no, you never have to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a given. It is nonsense. Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nonsense. I don't have a better...
That's the whole part that we're working on dropping.
That's exactly right. And so with the word thing, the fog, that's the fog.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the words that we are attempting to recognize for what they are and drop.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. The voices are going to try to beat you up again as soon as you hang up. Just say no.
I'm going to drop it. Thank you.
All right. Very good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ren. Oh, it's just lovely to have that process so well laid out for us, right, Sherry? That we have something drop in for us through intuition, and then the conversation starts, and the clarity becomes a lack of clarity, and that's the fog. And so when we know we're not clear, we know we're in the fog, and we use our practice tools to get back to that place of clarity.
Yes, just drop all the words, come back to the breath, come back to the senses, notice where your feet are, and look for what's going to drop in now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that whole process of coming back to the breath, coming back to the senses, realizing where your feet are, that is the dropping in process.
Yes. Well, and one of the most spectacular things that in my experience is, it will occur to me to go to the library in this moment. And then, so I'm going to follow through on that impulse, and I know that I'm going to go at 3:00, because that drops in as the time to go. And then if I'm actually paying attention, it might drop in to say, you know what, maybe not, because remember that appointment that you didn't have? And to me, it's a progression, right? That if we're available, just because the intuition is for an action in the morning, the intuition can tell us that not to act on the action 3 hours later. And we just have to be paying attention for that.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah, life pivots, right? And we need to learn to pivot with it. So your point is excellent. The fact that I decided in the morning that I'm going to the library this afternoon has nothing to do with whether or not I'm going to the library. And there's nothing flaky about it. It's just what is unfolding in life right now. That's where we want to be.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and there's post-learning also, right, that in the moment, it never occurred to me to say or do X. But later, there's clarity around perhaps how that incident might have gone or what I could learn from that. And so there's that ability. I mean, I guess what I'm pointing at is life has such a fascinating way of talking to us. And we just need to be here to listen to whatever it has to say. You know?
Yes.
There's
the learning
experience. There's the warning experience. There's the intuitive experience. There's the encouraging experience. And they're all of it, all the time.
Yes.
And expecting it to be one way is the fog.
Yes. I just had one of those. I will tell this little story and make it as brief as possible. Many people who know me know that I am wildly in love with Heavenly Blue Morning Glories. And so I had my little Heavenly Blue Morning Glories started. I just started growing them, and so I don't this is my second year starting them from their little seeds. And so I had them in their little they're not peat pots, because I learned that peat is an endangered species, but they're faux peat pots, and so they're all in their little containers. And I dutifully they got tall and they started tangling as they like to do, and I dutifully cut them apart so that each one of their little inch and a half by inch and a half pots could go in the ground by itself. And it was rugged cutting them apart and getting them untangled, and it was dangerous for both them and me. And afterwards, they're all in the ground, and they're on their way, we hope. And I'm actually driving down the road, and it drops in that I could have planted them as one unit without doing all that cutting and untangling.
Uh-huh.
And I just started laughing, because I said, well, that intel would have been really helpful before, not after, right? But it didn't come before. It came after. And so there, now I know. I had that experience. Now I know that there's this option. Next year, if we're all around, I'll probably try that. So no hard feelings. It's not like life is always going to give us ahead of time what will make life easy and make everything safe for us. That is not, don't count on that.
Yes. Well, and we have no idea that what you did would not produce phenomenal results.
Yes, we have absolutely no idea whatsoever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the way of the mysterious.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And we got to learn to love it.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. It doesn't go the way I want. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow, I haven't been on in a long time. This is Brad in Maryland. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Who is this? Brad?
This is Brad in Maryland.
Oh, Brad. Okay. My phone is funky, and so everybody's a little underwater and that sort of thing. Hey, Brad.
Oh.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. You just went underwater on me. I was this morning. Since you've said that in terms of life opening up for you and the information being there when you're not listening to conditioning, I have that experience more and more, and it's fascinating to think that it's not a matter of thinking that's necessarily going to help you remember important things in life. It's a matter actually of the exact opposite, of not being consumed with thought, that is providing the space for those things to drop in.
Yes, exactly so. The thinking is actually like a dimmer switch on life's intelligence.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of, well, probably what conditioning seems to want to tell me about it, but I have that experience again and again. It's like, if I'm here, I'll remember a lot of the time, maybe not all the time, but I'll remember most of what I need throughout the day because my mind's not obsessed on other things.
Yes, yes, and you may forget something. And, of course, you know, life doesn't seem to be offended by alarms and reminders and all of those kinds of things. But what we're learning to do is not turn our life over to that just incessant ruminating, where it goes from, telling you 150 times that you're going to go to the library this afternoon, along with some reminders of things that you've done in the past that you feel bad about, or can be embarrassed by, and things that you're afraid of in the future, and that's what we're turning off. And if you don't remember everything that you plan to do, maybe it was your plan to do it, but it wasn't life's plan to do it.
Yeah, yeah. That really, we don't know how things are going to go. We just need to be here for whatever shows up.
Yes, exactly. And the wisdom in that, right? We know that that's true. We know it. How many times have we remembered perfectly what it was that we needed to do, and that thing didn't happen at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have no control. That if we get that, and that's not, you know, we're not getting to a place of, oh, well, then what difference does it make? No, that's not where we're going. Where we're going is, we do the very best that we can do, and that's not the same as having control.
Yeah, no, I'm right in line with it. It's hard to practice, but it's a necessity for me. And my experience again and again, you know, if anything with Zen, the thing that I love about it the most is you're directing your attention away from that compulsive mind. And
yes,
that is... God, that's finding God all in and all of itself for me.
Yes.
My issue was always way too much thinking.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yeah. And again, you know, computers are amazing things, but they're never going to come up with anything new. There's never going to be anything original. You're never going to get any of the wisdom, the brilliance that we receive through human beings from a computer. You're just not, because it's not new. And that's that's an exact parallel to what we're talking about. Conditioned mind doesn't have nearly going for it what a computer has going for it. But it's that same process of there's nothing new there. New happens in each moment.
And if I could just interject, my experience with the obsessing of the thoughts of with the conditioned mind is it does not matter what the subject matter is. It could be something I enjoy doing as a hobby, something I need to do later. Whatever it's caused me to be in the same process of stewing over again and again and again is where I need to direct my attention from if it's not here.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because you know what it's doing. Until people know the point of that process, it can seem sometimes annoying, sometimes miserable, but often innocuous. But it's not, because what it's doing is keeping us in an illusion of a, in quotes, reality that does not exist. It's not real. It's creating an imaginary world for us to live in and robbing us of the world that actually is. So people will live in the imaginary world that conditioned mind is creating and be very unhappy. You know, the world is a terrible place. People are awful. Everything is whatever it is. Well, yeah, that's what it all looks like when you're in conditioned mind. But when you get here, it doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah. What I was struggling with earlier this week, though, is the fact that it's like, for me, it's always such a challenge, despite really kind of having my feet into practice now for 4 or 5 years, always such a practice for me not to play out the karma. And when I start to feel really good, that's when it really wants to kick around even faster and knock me flat, as we were saying with the last call.
Yes. Well, it's again, okay. Now, what we're talking about here is what some people talk about as union with God. Where did we get an idea that we should just decide that's something we want and we get to have it? I think it's called credit cards and online shopping. There's this idea that, you know, oh, I want that. Okay, well, that should be easy. I should get that right away. No. It's probably not going to go that way. We have to, you know, this is terrible. This is one of those, I should never say this, but, you know, we have to earn it. And what we trade for union with God is everything we've been hanging on to instead of.
Yeah.
We're going to have to give all that up. Let all that go. Stop doing that. Get over that. Quit indulging it. That's the price we're going to pay. That's what we have to be willing to do in exchange. We don't get to keep our little nasty egos and have union with God. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Makes sense. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Brad. Gosh, how powerful is that, Sherry, that in order for what we're going for in spiritual practice, the first thing we have to let go of is the idea that we can just have it because we decide we want it, that we don't
yes.
have to do anything to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want it now, right?
Yes.
I want it, and I want it now. Now, in 15 minutes, when I've lost interest in that, and I'm now pursuing this whatever conversation about how I was wronged when I was 15, you know, and I've lost interest in union with God. Well, we should just overlook that because I'm going to get interested again pretty soon. And when I do, I want it to be easy, okay? Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that lack of lack of effort. I mean, the thing that also struck me in that conversation is that place of, you know, we don't have any control, right? So things evolve, and therefore our best practice is to be able to be with whatever evolves rather than going for outcomes, which is related to that conversation of union with God, right?
Yes.
That we have absolutely to do that so. Is to submit to the process of wearing away that allows us to have the experience that every one of us, I mean, it's the most joyful experience in the world, but it's a process, and we have to submit, surrender, let go.
Yes, because it, just the way you said that, it is actually even logical. What does union with God look like? Well, it looks like saying yes to everything that is.
Exactly so. That was, yes,
yeah.
I think you connected dots wonderfully.
Yeah, so if I want to have that experience of being at one with the intelligence that animates, then I better say yes to the intelligence that animates as it shows up. Not holding on to my better ideas about how it should go, how I'd like it to be, and think I'm going to be rewarded by holding on to those conditioned opinions by having an experience of oneness with the allness that is. Yeah.
It's big.
Wow. Yeah, it is. And those words, that's what set us off here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so let me bring on one.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. You go ahead.
Go ahead, Sherry. We have time for one more caller.
Good. I want that caller. I was just going to talk more about words. I use words to talk about words. No, let's hear from the caller.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. So shocking to get on. That was funny what you were saying, Sherry, about using words to talk about words. I was just thinking about that. I was thinking if there were no words, there'd be no radio show. But I also...
Right, we just get on here and enjoy the silence together.
Right. Also, I love your morning glories. I love morning glories, too. Mine are about 6 inches tall right now, and thank you for the information about the peat pots.
Oh, yeah, I just learned that, isn't it?
I didn't know that. Good to know.
I know. I didn't either until I read the package.
Okay.
Mm-hmm,
well, I'm going to get the faux peat pots then. The thing about the no words is it's a fast train to presence. If I just say, oh, wait, no words, then all of a sudden here I am.
Yes, you just slip into that space between the words, which is the equivalent of the space between the thoughts, and here we are.
Exactly. It's very simple. I mean, it's not easy. We don't get it with the credit card easy, but it's a simple concept.
Yes, it is. And then we're required to remember that and choose it.
Right. Ah, the remembering.
Yeah. That's the dicey part. And we have a wonderful role model in conditioning. Right? Ego never forgets, never loses focus, not once. And
true.
So if we can want to be free of the suffering of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, as much as it wants to keep us in bondage, then there we are. And that's the kind of devotion and sincerity we have to bring to it.
Oh, very good. I like that.
It's not gonna let us slip up. That's Gandhi's, you know, worthy opponent. Want that. You want the thing that's going to make you the very best that you can possibly be.
Well, isn't that perfect? Because we have it.
We have it. God is good.
Oh, I like that perspective.
Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's so true. We all have the capacity to have all of the attributes of existence. I mean, just
yes.
We have the capacity
yes.
to remember, and we have the capacity to be aware of all that is.
Yes. Yes. We just have to want it.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think we also have the capacity for.
Yes. Yes. And that's where in Zen, of course, we often talk about we get to that when we've suffered enough. That's
yeah.
really what it comes down to. You know, as long
yeah.
as I'm happier with suffering than going up against ego, then that's what I'm going to have. And when I'm no longer happy suffering along with ego, I have the capacity to let it go.
Yes. Well, it segues beautifully into our next assignment.
Oh, good.
The way to make your dreams come true is to wake up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's so perfect. Let's pause to take that in for a moment. As long as we're walking around in conditioned mind, we're asleep, unavailable to life's creativity. We're living in a conversation that is pointing out all the reasons why dreams can't, won't come true. For life to express itself, we have to be a clear channel, an instrument of peace. Today, each time you walk through a door, let it be a call to awaken. Come back to this here now and realize you are one with the power of creation. Record and listen.
Wow.
Wow. They just get better every day.
I'm standing here leaning on a door jamb. Do you think that counts?
Oh, I think everything counts, Sherry.
I'm very close to enlightenment, aren't I?
Yes,
right.
You are. All right. Certainly not asleep.
All right. Thank you. Thank
you,
Ashwini.
Take care, Sherry. See you tomorrow.
You.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.